The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I am your host. We did AFC free agency grades yesterday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, March 25th. It's time for NFC free agency grades. If you have a specific team you would like us to discuss more in depth, you can ask us to do so, or a specific deal, a specific player, whatever it is, go into Apple Podcast, leave a five-star review. Make sure to download and subscribe while you're there if you weren't already doing that. Leave a five-star review, and we will answer your question. You can ask questions about maybe you have parenting advice during a shelter-in-place situation. For instance, I spent 2 hours writing The Room on Tuesday morning to kill some time. That was very exciting. If you want to know what that is, I'll tell you. But you got to ask on Apple Podcasts. Or maybe Jonathan Jones can ask me because I know he's dying for fun children's games during this time of spending hours and days inside our own homes. What's up, JJ?
What's going on, man? I don't have any kids and I don't need any tips. It's just me.
Being sarcastic.
Oh, no. Yeah. But in case like people out there thought that maybe I did and they weren't picking up on your sarcasm, I didn't need to make it clear that I am way too selfish to have children or dogs.
Well, I wish. Awful dry cough for me there. I wish right now that I was I wouldn't exercise out in the chilly weather today, and I think it got to my lungs. I love my family, but now would be a solid time to be independent, if you will.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good for me. Honestly, as an only child, as a guy who already worked from home, like as a person who really has zero responsibilities in the world, I'm actually like very well positioned, you know? And then also my job is to talk and write about the NFL, which is the only sport that has anything really going on. So like, and I don't say that to brag. I say that to be like, I recognize how fortunate of a position I am in this global pandemic. And like, I don't take that lightly that I'm in a decent spot.
No, I mean, I've been saying that for the past week. It's like, it was easier to transition into this situation because I usually spend this week locked in my house anyway, you know?
Right.
And so for me, it hasn't been a whole lot different. It's more about transitioning my wife. My mom keeps calling my brother who lives in downtown Raleigh and lives by himself, plays some video games every now and then. I think she calls him. She's worried about him, worried that he's alone all by himself in that apartment. I'm like, Mom, you're worried about the wrong brother. Anyway,
do you know up until the numbers are still coming through, but as recently as Sunday evening, there were almost 100 cases of COVID-19 in my county, Mecklenburg County, where Charlotte is located. And in my zip code, there were zero known or identified cases.
That's crazy. It's like Wake County is very similar. And this is not to get into a North Carolina corona podcast. But I mean, like, you know, I do feel, I mean, so I left a review mad that we talked corona, like either or COVID-19, I guess, if you're going to be scientific. JJ is trying to elevate the conversation here. It is happening. Like it's a part of everybody's life. So we're sort of trying to make shape the podcast around what people are dealing with in their day to day lives. If we do that, and I agree with you, there's like a lot of cases in Wake County, but I don't. But like Wake County and Mecklenburg are both very, very big counties.
That's right. And speaking of, and then tying this back to football, I was on the teleconference today with Tom Brady and other media members, and he kept talking about the unique challenges that he and the Bucks and the NFL and the world are facing right now. And my question to him, and this is a story that I wrote for CBSSports.com, is essentially, okay, so Brady didn't participate in the last couple of years of OTAs for New England. Obviously, being with the Bucks, he would participate in OTAs.
Yes.
But more than likely, we are certainly not going to have OTAs as we know it, as we know them, and probably not have OTAs at all. So how are you going to get to know these guys on and off the field? And Brady said, you know, hey, technology's fantastic. I'm essentially going to FaceTime and Skype with these guys. Hopefully we'll try to get together. But if there is, for example, a shelter in place in the state of Florida, if this continues the way that it's going, I don't know how he and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans or 5 to 10 of his pass catchers are going to be able to quite literally legally get together.
They will not be able to legally get together and certainly would not be able to share it on the gram. I consider myself fairly optimistic about this whole situation, but I do think that there's a pretty good chance the first time these guys get together will be training camp. And if that's the case, and that's enough time to get prepared for a season, but it's not easy. If that is the case, then I think that what you can end up seeing is maybe the Buccaneers starting out slow on offense. And I mean, imagine being like Chris Godwin, who's a very good player, but not like a Mike Evans star player. And like you're spending, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours a week FaceTiming with the greatest quarterback of all time. Like it'd be kind of weird, right?
It would be weird. I think that you're absolutely right. The Bucs could start off slow. I think the Colts could start off slow. I think that they're better positioned than other teams in that they do have Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers, respectively, that will at least understand and be up to speed on terminology. You know, I worry, obviously, with teams that are going to have new quarterbacks that are not veterans, I worry about so Cincinnati, obviously, Miami. And then I start to worry about teams with quarterbacks going from year one to year two, like in Arizona, or year two to year three, like a Buffalo. I know Lamar Jackson just won NFL MVP, but still, year three is a crucial time for young quarterbacks.
They're very lucky that the coaching searches broke the way they did.
Yes.
And that they didn't have either of their assistants poached, because everybody thought that, we might see Greg Roman get a head coaching job and, Don Martindale. I mean, like, you know, they could have easily lost both of their assistants and they would be in a weird spot right now. Instead, they have a lot of continuity.
A lot of continuity. And so I just wrote for .com about how continuity is going to be key. And you can sort of identify 8 to 9 teams that kept their head coach, their OC, their DC, and their veteran quarterback, right?
You probably didn't listen, and it's fine. I'm not offended by any stretch of imagination. I don't know if you listened to me and Jason Lockenfora yesterday. Or no, is it? Yes, it was yesterday's podcast. But we literally were talking, like, I have it written down on my pad here. I'm like, continuity rankings. Because I think that's the key, is like OC, head coach, quarterback, and then offensive line to a degree. And like if you have all those pieces in place, you're probably going to be a pretty good offense this year if all those pieces are transitioning from year one to year two. So what teams were on your list? Then we'll get back to some Tom Brady.
So like my teams, if I'm picking like 8 or 9, number one at the top is Kansas City Chiefs. They were very fortunate to keep Eric Bieniemy, where I think a lot of teams who needed a head coach have made a mistake. You look at the Titans, and they have their whole crew back together outside of right tackle Jack Conklin, who they were anticipating they'd probably have to lose as well. So just going quickly down the list, I got the New Orleans Saints, adding Emmanuel Sanders, like adding a wide receiver, especially a veteran wide receiver, sort of a plug-and-play guy. Like, I don't think that's a huge
deal. Especially somebody who doesn't need to be the number one, right? Like,
That's exactly right. I got the 49ers, even though they lost Emmanuel Sanders and DeForest Buckner, like, they still have Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh. The Eagles, okay, so they did lose their offensive coordinator, but Doug Peterson's the offensive coordinator. So, like, it's all good. I got the Packers, the Seahawks, and then so far I've named only playoff teams from last year. But there are two teams that did not make the playoffs that I see continuity with. Number one are the Atlanta Falcons, and number two are the Las Vegas Raiders, who, you know, they're not the Oakland Raiders, so that would sort of be the antithesis of continuity. They have literally relocated. But if you're not practicing in OTAs and you're only, like, getting together on July 27th, rolling the ball out there and throwing it around for 3 weeks, and then, hey, it's week one. So I don't think that necessarily matters. I have the Raiders on that list as well.
The Falcons is interesting, too, because we sat down with Arthur Blank for this podcast. Yeah, Arthur Blank's. Yeah, we talked to the Atlanta Falcons owner on this goofy little podcast, and it was me and Prisco. But he pointed out how important this is the Super Bowl. He pointed out how important continuity was, and that's why he decided ultimately to stick with Dan Quinn. And I mean, clearly he didn't know what was coming down the pipe. Well, maybe he did. It was February. Maybe he did.
I think it's safe to say he did not see this one coming down the pike.
Yeah, probably not. But I mean, like, you know, it's nuts because a friend of mine was talking about how he's like, yeah, I watched that pandemic video on Netflix. I haven't seen it yet, but he's like, talk about ahead of its time. I was like, well, it was released on January 22nd. Like, Corona was already in America. Like, there were already cases of COVID-19 in the U.S. It's just crazy. Like, how, like, when it hits the accelerator, it hits the accelerator. Like, I don't think anybody was seeing this coming. I mean, at the Super Bowl, we're walking around in Miami. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people are just walking around Miami. You're sharing Ubers. You're flying in planes. You're not even thinking twice about it. You know, you saw a bunch of people in masks at airport and stuff like that. But I mean, it wasn't, I don't know. Like it's the acceleration process is wild. I doubt that it was on Arthur Blank's mind, but maybe.
Yeah, I doubt it as well. But, if it were on his mind, and he played the stock market, he would probably be crushing it right now.
That's correct. But I guess my point is that, like, the Super Bowl was 7 or 8 weeks ago.
It was right at the front end of America with it, right? Like, it might have even.
It was 6 weeks ago. It feels like it was 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah. No, it really does.
I guess that's what my point. So, back to Brady. And I like that list of teams, and I agree with that list of teams. Back to Brady. You were on the conference call. I caught the front end of it. I had to go and get some exercise during the rest of it. Let me ask you. First, I want to know, if Tom Brady had signed with the Panthers, would you have said, welcome to Charlotte, Tom, when you asked your question on the call?
Yeah, I would have. Why wouldn't I have said that?
I don't know. I mean, no, like, the first two questions were like, hi, Tom, welcome to Tampa. It's
like yeah, I mean, sometimes it feels a little bit hokey, you know, from a – I'll tell you this, Will, like, as a former beat writer
– check out Max.
Right. I know. Like, as a former beat writer, especially when you have these conference calls, like, you're trying to kind of wave the flag that, hey – here I am. I want to be presentable right now, but you're also going to hear from me and see me around the locker room every single day. So I want to make an impression, but I don't want to be too goofy in front of everyone. Right. And so that's just my experience from a conference call. So yeah, a lot of times, like, hey, you know, because you want him to know I'm not just some random Joe at another city. Like, yo, you're going to be dealing with me every day.
Of course. And look, I think it was Greg Allman and Jenna Lane who were the first two questions. I'm not making fun of him. I just thought it was, I think it's funny. He's like, welcome to Tampa, Tom. And then, like, the next question is like, Sam Farmer's like, hi, Tom. Sam Farmer's like, hey, Sam, how's it going? What's happening? How are your kids?
That's right. You could tell who Tom's favorites were on that call.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So yeah, what was your big takeaway from that? I mean, anything aside from the fact that they'll have to figure out a way to, I don't know, it didn't feel like Tom Brady was cutting loose. It felt like he still had a lot of patriotism, like a Patriots way attached to him.
Yeah. Did you almost say patriotism?
Yes.
Well, we knew
I was going for.
We knew that he wasn't going to, like, tell us anything, right? He's never been super revealing in really any conversation, and it certainly wouldn't happen in a, you know, 50-person conference call televised on CBS Sports HQ. But what I was intrigued by was, you know, I wanted to know a lot about the process, and I had, you know, five questions written down, and depending on when they got to me in the queue, you know, okay, so the top two questions had been asked, or I thought, you know, one of my first questions was, hey, you clearly have been planning for this, for the possibility of you no longer being a New England Patriot for at least a year. When and how did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come into focus for you? And very early on in the conversation, he had said once or twice, like, I'm not getting into the particulars of a process, you know, and the detail. And so I went ahead and I canceled that question because it was just going to be a wasted question. But he kept repeating, you know, a half dozen times, unique challenges of meeting everyone and getting the rhythm down. And so I wanted to see what his plan was for that. And he obviously divulged that to a point. As far as the most revealing or enlightening thing, I think the one nugget out of all of this, because he was not going to throw any shade on the Patriots organization, was that we knew that he met with Robert Kraft in his home the night before he made his announcement that following morning, but that he, like, conference called Belichick in. Right there. Like, I found that to be the most interesting.
Oh, he conference called Belichick in with Bob Kraft?
He said that he basically said, I was with Robert and then we called Bill. was and so like, okay, so they all had that together. So he didn't like call Belichick and then go over to Bob Kraft's. He went over to Bob Kraft's, told Bob, and then he called Belichick and kind of did that together.
Okay. Interesting. I think, and I don't want to belabor the Brady point because we have lots of Brady stuff to talk about, but I mean, the dynamics of all of this are fascinating and they're going to make for an incredible book at some point in time. I am personally of the opinion, JJ, that Bill Belichick basically made it clear to Tom Brady that he was not going, that he was, this was, he was making this year a year early instead of a year too late, and that he had been given the power to just make the quarterback decision, and that he is moving on from Tom Brady. But the Patriots and Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick allowed it to look like Tom Brady was the one who left. Like they did not want, they wanted to be magnanimous about it. They didn't want him to feel like he was being kicked to the curb, or to look publicly like he was being kicked to the curb. And as such, like it looked like to me publicly, it looks like Tom Brady left. But I don't know. I'm curious what you think. I'm of the opinion that Bill Belichick told him no thank you.
I'm of the opinion, because this is what has been true the last couple of years, that Tom Brady wanted some form of commitment past 1 year from the New England Patriots and continued to not get it. That he has said until he's blue in the face that he wants to play until his mid-40s, and that he was not interested in being on a year-to-year proposition with the New England Patriots. So without knowing their contract details or whatever, the one thing that we do know was Brady did want some sort of at least 2 year commitment, and that the Chargers and the Bucks were willing to meet him on that. Obviously the Bucks were, and I'm not convinced that at the end of this contract that he won't sign another contract. That was another question I had for him, but I knew that he wouldn't answer that question, right? He's just going to say, I'm focused on the now. Well, when I get to 45, I'll get to 45. But he said he wants to play into 45, and this contract takes him to 44. And what we had seen from the Patriots time and again, it was not about the money necessarily, so much as he wanted commitment from the Patriots. And I don't think that Belichick was willing to give that to him because of what you just said, rather be a year early than a year late. And so if the Patriots said, yeah, Tom, we'll give you a 1 year, $25 million deal, he'd be like, no, I want two. They're like, yeah, no, can't do that, buddy.
I think that's basically what happened. And you know, you hear this, I think he wanted collaboration too. Like you look at his sponsorships, Uggs, Under Armour. You know, he is not somebody who just takes cash from them and then, you know, shills the product. He is an invested partner. And I think he wanted to be that with the next team that he went to. And he's not that with the Patriots. I mean, like, he's an employee of the Patriots. And now with the Buccaneers, he feels like, sort of an invested partner who is working with Bruce Arians and Jason Light to figure out the offense, to collaborate on the roster moves and all of that. So I think that was sort of something like creative control, you know, like when you're.
Sure. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's like, you know, like you used to work with Peter King at SI. He'd been doing this for a long time and he wanted his own site. You know, like you want. Like when you've been doing this for a long time, at some point you want creative control. You know, like Bill Simmons started his own, I mean, you know, there's all, but he started his own site. Like you get the point, like if you've been doing it for a long time, you've been successful, so at some point you want creative control. And that happens in almost every industry, including apparently football.
I think that that's a fantastic point, and that may be, paramount to what I'm about to say. And that is, you know, the Bucks are a reclamation project. They're a team that, I've said this before, not on this podcast, but literally the last time they were in the playoffs, Will, George W. Bush was in the Oval Office.
Wow.
And it's been that long. And I wonder if Brady, we've all talked about, was it Brady or Belichick, right? That was the main reason for this dynasty. All right, now let's see what Brady can do. Now let's see what Belichick can do. I'm not entirely sure it's a major coincidence that Brady went to a team that in a dozen years hasn't been to the postseason. Like, I do think that there was some allure that, like, okay, I'm Tom Brady, and in 2 years, I can take this franchise that has been moribund for a dozen years and turn it around and flip it. And they do have pieces in place, and I can be that last puzzle piece. I do think that that played to the human ego a little bit.
All right, give me a grade for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offseason then. Since we're talking Tom Brady, I mean, frankly, like I know what I would give him, and it would be an A+. It's like, look, you convinced Tom Brady to come to Tampa. So I don't care what else you did. You talked Tom Brady into coming to Tampa. You sold a bajillion tickets. You're the team everybody cares about. Did you lose Ndamukong Suh? Maybe. We don't know yet. I'm not even sure what else you did, to be perfectly frank, but you got Tom Brady.
And it is because what they have yet to do that, and I know this might be a cop-out, and I will not cop-out for the rest of the grades. This is an incomplete for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it's an incomplete because, yes, they just got the GOAT. That's fantastic. I'm ready to give them an A. But as we all know, free agents are prepared to flock to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that is poised to make a run at a championship, a team that is conveniently located in a state with no state income tax. And so when you think about taking less to go for a ring, are you actually taking less when there's no state income tax? You know, you can play that. You can figure all that stuff out. And so because those free agents have not come through just yet, they got Joe Haig, right? Okay. They had already re-upped JPP. They tagged Shaq Barrett. But until we see that slot receiver come in there, until we see that right tackle come in there, until we see that running back take a little bit less, I'm thinking that they are at an incomplete, but it's okay that they're at incomplete because they should be waiting on folks to come to them. I don't think that they have to be overly aggressive right now.
All right, fair enough. The Carolina Panthers are in the same division, and they have not officially released Cam Newton as of this podcast recording at 3 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You and I have both been saying they're going to dump Cam. Cam was not getting traded. He's getting cut. Like, this is just, yep. And it's inexplicable they couldn't get anything back for him. So I'm curious, what did you think that much ado was made about nothing on Tuesday morning? I'm not impugning Adam Schefter's reporting, because I think the important distinction that Adam Schefter made when he tweeted something was the Panthers are releasing Cam today. Like, the timing of it is interesting, but like, he was getting cut. They can't get anything for him because nobody can check him out.
No, he was always getting released. The news is that it's apparently going to happen. Tuesday. That's the only bit of news. Like, that it happens, that it is going to happen, is not news. In terms of, and you know, that's also a quick aside, right? Well, that's kind of the one of the sillier things in our industry that we're all very guilty of, right? We're both raising our hands on this. Like, hey, eventual outcome that we have all been saying is the certain outcome just happened. And now we have to all say the exact same things that we said last week when we were preparing everyone for this outcome. Now the outcome has happened, and we have to say the exact same thing.
It just happened with Cam Newton. It just happened with Tom Brady. Like, we knew Tom Brady was going to the Bucks. And they had to announce it, and for weird circumstances, they hadn't done it. And so it's like, okay, we've had the Tom Brady discussion already for 2 days. Then you hit pause on it. And then there's like a little mild buzz about the contract situation. Then you have to come back and have the discussion again. And the same thing with Cam. It's like, we went through Cam's history with the Panthers when it was, you know, reported that he was going to be cut. Although there's been some, and again, I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but there was some interesting reporting about Cam dating back to the combine when there was at least Cam's going to be the Panthers starter? Cause like, I don't need it. So yeah, I mean, like, yeah. It was like, no,
nothing had changed at the combine. Like, right. And I went on HQ that day, and I was like, the news about Cam today.
I remember your hit on that. You were like,
I don't know about that. There's nothing. Whatever is going on with Cam today is the same thing that was going on with Cam yesterday, is the same thing that's going on with Cam tomorrow. That's exactly what I said. And it was because I knew that it was more likely than not that Cam would not be the starter for the Panthers in 2020. And what I had been reporting. So in terms of the Panthers grade, you lose Cam. I'm going to tell you what, they're getting a D- from me.
JJ, would your grade change if I told you that the Carolina Panthers had just, while we were recording this podcast, signed free agent, former Temple player, Robbie Anderson, to a 2-year deal that is worth $20 million or $12 million in year one?
It would change. I had them at a D minus. This upgrades them to a D. I had them at a D minus because I do not like them getting too good of a quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. They should have been aiming for someone on a Blake Bortles-like level so that they continue to tank into 2020. However, Robbie Anderson, now they do have a legitimate complement of good wide receivers, a number one wide receiver. I can't believe the Jets didn't try to bring him back on. or Washington try to make a play for him. So I am okay with this, especially with a 2-year deal where, all right, everybody, let's suffer through 2020 to get out like Andy Dufresne onto the other side of this in 2021.
that's fair enough. I don't love the price tag, but I guess $10 million a year is not crazy. Like, if they'd broken the bank for him, it almost feels like he's doing his old form. And by the way, they signed Philip Walker, of course, from Temple as well. It almost feels like he's throwing some of his boys a bone, but that's not unusual. You know, we talk about the Bills and the Giants bringing Carolina guys up, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, Robbie Anderson, maybe slight bump up, maybe slight bump down. Either way, shouldn't be a huge impact. This is not a great football team.
And I'm telling you why they get a D-minus from me. Because this roster is so bad that they should be tanking. And what they did, like the Miami Dolphins, when they tanked, which their offseason last year got an A from me because they leaned fully into the tank. And they got a quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick who was just good enough to inspire enough hope among players, but you knew he'd be bad enough to win or to lose you enough games to where this tank is worth it. And then what happened? You had Brian Flores, who coached too well, and you had Ryan Fitzpatrick, who never really was bad Ryan Fitzpatrick or was not bad Ryan Fitzpatrick enough. They just got Teddy Bridgewater, who's too good of a quarterback to tank and to be bad, which is what this roster demands that you are. And so
Teddy, Ryan Fitzpatrick has like this weirdly high ceiling, but this insanely low floor. Teddy Bridgewater has a really high floor and there's a compressed area in which Teddy Bridgewater's performance will finish, even with a questionable offensive line and like decent weapons. I mean, they lost Cam Newton, James Bradbury, Greg Olson, Luke Kuechly, Trey Turner, Mario Addison, Gerald McCoy, Vernon Butler, Eric Reed, Greg Van Roten, and Kyle Allen, who they traded for more than they could get for Cam Newton, which is weird, while adding Teddy Bridgewater, Russell Okung, Pharaoh Cooper, Seth Roberts, Stephon, Stephen Weatherly, and Bruce Irvin, or bringing back, like, this is not, it's a terrible roster. It's might be the worst roster in football.
It's a really – I mean, look at the defense. They lost their best pass rusher in Addison. They lost their best linebacker in Kuechly. They lost the best they lost their best corner and their best safety. You know, they lost their best interior offensive lineman. They lost their best quarterback. They still don't really have a number one wide receiver, and they have Christian McCaffrey. So you get a Teddy Bridgewater, and you give him a pretty good left tackle in Russell Okung. Like, at best – this is a 6-10 team, and there's nothing good about going 6-10. And David Tepper, who made his billions being the smart guy, understanding that that the government was going to bail out the banks in 2009 when a lot of people didn't see that coming. He saw it coming very early on and like quintupled his net worth in basically a day. He should know that this roster is so bad that there's no sense in going 6-10. Go 2-14.
Get the bailout, which is Trevor Lawrence.
That's right. It has to. This has to be worth it. And right now, the Panthers are not making it be worth it.
Yeah, I the Teddy Bridgewater thing concerns me because you gave him that money, and it's almost like you're paying Teddy just as an excuse to get out from under Cam. And I don't think either that they're doing the fans. It's reminiscent a little bit of when Dave Gettleman came in and like kicked Steve Smith to the curb. And I think, I mean, you know how that went there. Like it went over poorly with the fans. I mean, they're chasing out Cam Newton, Luke Kuechly, not necessarily chased, but Greg Olson definitely chased.
Greg Olson, Cam and Olson are getting the same treatment from the Panthers, right? That they release, this message that, hey, we've mutually decided to part ways with Greg. And Greg was like, yo, you guys weren't going to pay me at my number. I knew I was getting cut. I knew in December 1 that this was going to be my last time in Carolina. Cam, we've granted permission for him to seek a trade. But Cam doesn't want a trade. Cam really likes Charlotte and he likes it for any number of reasons, including selfish reasons that he knows that he won't be the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, where his home is. And so this is the closest franchise that he could possibly be to Atlanta, to his home. He loves Charlotte. Charlotte loves him. He has his way here. He's been able to run the place for a decade. Now he's going to go somewhere and he's going to take his production crew and they're going to have all this access to whatever locker room he pops into next. No. You think that he's going to get $20 million the next place he gets? No, he goes, no. Like, he had it really good in Carolina, and Cam realized that. And so when he's like, grant permission to seek a trade, I don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah. I'm not getting a trade. Please. I will be, he's like, you know, told CBS Sports Radio, I will absolutely be be the Panthers starting quarterback. That's clearly not the case. By the way, the Panthers over under win total. I've seen it out there at 5.5. Hammer the under.
Hammer it.
Hammer that under. If you can find that number, take the under 5.5. They will not win 6 games next year. They might. I mean, they could.
I mean, that's their ceiling. That's their ceiling with Teddy Bridgewater.
They won 5 games last year. They were like 5-3 at one point. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we'll let you know how the Cowboys did the offseason. Sure, they tagged Dak, but they lost a starting center and some other players. Will the Cowboys be bashed by JJ and I? Maybe.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Dak Prescott on the franchise tag. Amari Cooper signed for $100 million over 5 years, $20 million a pop. They also brought back Blake Jarwin, Kai Forbath, and Sean Lee, while adding Gerald McCoy and HaHa Clinton Dix. Did they sign Don Terry Poe yet? I think they were about to sign Don Terry Poe. Losses for the Cowboys, though, include Jason Witten. Oh, no. Randall Cobb, who signed with the Texans, Malik Collins, Robert Quinn, Byron Jones, there's a bunch of defensive players, and recently Travis Frederick, who retired. How would you grade out the Cowboys offseason, JJ?
Okay, so the Cowboys get a B- from me. And I like the Amari deal. Washington was very, very involved in Amari Cooper, I'm told. I like HaHa Clinton Dix. Doesn't stop him from taking a safety at 17, although corner's a bigger need. Gerald McCoy, maybe he can reclaim his Tampa Bay magic. That's great. Sean Lee, very low-risk move. The Travis Frederick retirement, you know, there's nothing they can do about that, but they have been put in that situation before to be without Travis Frederick, so they're at least prepared in some way for that. They were never going to pay Byron Jones. Okay. My issue is the Dak tag. They should have given him an extension last year. They made the mistake in early September of not giving him anywhere close to what Jared Goff was getting paid by the Rams. That was the floor. They continued to make that mistake this year by tagging him rather than getting into a long-term deal with him. The thing is, Dak Prescott has 40 wins for the Dallas Cowboys. If you do the math on the 40 wins divided by how much money he has made from the Dallas Cowboys in his career, that's $122,000 per win. That's all that the Dallas Cowboys have had to pay. You owe Dak Prescott back pay. Yeah. You need to pay him. And the thing is, the salary cap's going to go up, as we all understand. The TV contract deal in a couple years is going to spike the cap even more. And so each year that you wait to pay Dak Prescott, it's going to hurt worse and worse. And so they're okay for 2020, right? It's not about free agency for the 2020 season. It's about free agency for the good of the short and long term of this team. And by not getting a long term deal done with Dak Prescott in the past year, that's going to come back and bite the Cowboys.
Yeah, I would actually go C because of the Dak Prescott thing. And like you gave Zeke Elliott the deal, you could be doing this tag thing with Zeke Elliott right now, or like you could be battle it out with the running back and play Tony Pollard. Don't battle it out with the quarterback and potentially cost yourself and you lose Byron Jones. Getting Amari Cooper back did salvage their offseason, though. Our old friend Dave Gettleman
and his giant pants up in New York. I love Dave Gettleman's huge pants. He brought James Bradberry into town, another Carolina guy.
Yep.
Buffalo and New York, man. Tell you what,
they love the Carolina guys.
They do not mind signing their guys. Also signed Blake Martinez, linebacker who sometimes struggles to recognize certain things in play action.
Oftentimes.
Colt McCoy is a backup quarterback, Levine Toilolo. I can't pronounce anything today.
Toilolo.
Thank you. They lost Alec Ogletree. Brought back Leonard Williams on the franchise tag because losing him to free agency would be too embarrassing. What kind of grade would you give the Giants here?
Oh, gosh. I'd give them a C just because of the Leonard Williams thing. I love the Bradbury.
It'd be higher if they hadn't screwed up the Leonard Williams thing.
Correct. And honestly, like, you know, the Giants made a ton of moves last year. They're banking on the youth movement that they have there. So, okay, like, you want to see those guys through. You're not ready to cast them aside. All that stuff's fine. If you don't think that you have to make a ton of moves, I'm okay with that. It's just and the James Bradbury move is a fantastic one, and they paid him a very fair rate. I just don't really like the Leonard Williams deal or the tag whatsoever.
No, it's a disaster. The only reason you tagged him is because you gave up a pick for him. If he'd been on the roster to begin with, you just would have let him hit free agency and tried to re-sign him. But Dave Gettleman knew he would get skewered for not getting anything, for like letting him walk after giving up that pick. And then the thing with the Bradbury, I agree. It's a fine deal. It's just weird that he rescinded the tag on Josh Norman, drafted Bradbury, talked about how you don't pay corners, and then gave James Bradbury a huge deal in free agency. I think Bradbury's a good player. It just doesn't fit necessarily with Dave Gettleman's philosophy. It makes me wonder if the computer folks are having their having their way up in New York. For the Eagles, they traded for Darius Slay, a very nice pickup. Out of Javon Hargrave, solid. Jatavis Brown, Will Parks, they lose. Malcolm Jenkins, cry yourself to sleep. Debo, Nelson Aguilar and his beautiful hands are out of town. Nigel Bradham, Jordan Howard gone, and Big V left and got a ton of money for some reason free agency. Why would you grade the Eagles?
I'm going to give them a B.
Okay.
I'm going to give them a B. I'm going to give them a B because, okay,
you're a harsh grader, and I like it. It's good.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. There aren't many A's that I'm going to give out, and we're talking about NFC teams. Like, the only team that I can really think of that would get just a solid A and nothing else to say about it, the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
So I'm giving them a B. I love the Darius Slay pickup. They absolutely had to upgrade that secondary. They gave up a league-high 11 deep passing touchdowns last season.
Yeah.
So getting a guy like him – and paying him and trading for him, that's a totally fair thing to do. They probably should have given up even more in order to get him. I love Javon Hargrave. I've been a big fan of his ever since he was coming out of college. Nelson Aguilar, you can lose him. That's fine. They're going to get healthy back at wide receiver. They have continuity. Again, we talked about that in the first segment. They're the only NFC East team that has a returning head coach. I'm cool with what the Eagles have done.
I would agree with that. I think I might even go B plus or A minus just because I think that while the division, I don't know, like I feel like they to me are a clear cut favorite in the division now that Travis Frederick left, and you know they should win it, but we'll see. The Redskins brought back Brandon Scherff on the franchise tag. They lose Eric Flowers, Josh Norman, Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, and Quentin Dunbar. Questionable trade for a fifth round pick after they gave up a fifth round pick to add Kyle Allen. They bring in Kendall Fuller and Sean Davis, Thomas Davis, the ageless wonder, J.D. McKissick, and Wes Schweitzer. What would you give Ron Rivera in his first free agency offseason for the Washington Redskins?
C-plus gave up way too much in order to get Kyle Allen a fifth-rounder.
Like, it's ridiculous. Cam Newton is free, but Kyle Allen costs a fifth-rounder?
Yeah, and you know what? There's some politics involved with that, right? Because you can't, if you have Dwayne Haskins or if you have any first or second year quarterback, you really can't bring in a Cam Newton. That's just going to completely ruin the guy's confidence. So I do kind of get that, but a fifth rounder for Kyle Allen is a lot. It probably should have gotten more for Quentin Dunbar. We're waiting to see what they're going to get for Trent Williams. I've been told they are not at a hard, steadfast second round pick. They're willing to work with the team. Give us a third and give us something next year. Okay, we can talk. So we're going to see about that. But then also, who are their wide receivers? And, you know, they were in the Amari Cooper sweepstakes.
Scary Terry McLaurin's a stud, but they're young. They're a bunch of young guys.
So, I mean, they were in the Amari Cooper sweepstakes for a reason. And we know at pick number two that they're going to take Chase Young. I'm wondering where they're going to get receivers.
And they don't have a second round pick because they gave it to Indy to move up to get Montez Sweat last year, which in hindsight, Montez Sweat, good player, but looks like a disaster. You can't give up your second round pick next year and then be the second worst team in football.
Yeah. So all of those things, had they gotten Amari, had they, been able to get a Stephon Diggs, okay, I'd feel a lot better about him, but I'm worried about where they're at receiver and how they're going to augment that.
Yeah, that's a very good question. C plus works for me. I probably would have gone in the B range until the Dunbar Allen trades. Those really dinged him. Questionable moves there. You basically swapped Quentin Dunbar for Kyle Allen in a three-way trade. Is that right? No, that's not right. And they gave up a fifth-round pick. It's a terrible deal. The Vikings lose Stephon Diggs, but get back a first-round pick. Trey Wayne signs for huge money in Cincinnati. Linval Joseph goes to the Chargers. Everson Griffin also gone. Andrew Sandejo, Xavier Rhodes. My God, that defense just got picked apart this offseason. But they brought back Kirk Cousins. So you got CJ Ham. You got Ham and Cousins, so you're fine. How would you grade the Vikings all season?
Oh, boy. The Minnesota Vikings. Get a C from me. Because they didn't have much room to do anything, right? They had a miserable cap situation, so we knew that there was going to be a lot of attrition. Like, that's just the way that it was going to be. That secondary is going to look completely different. You extended Cousins who, okay, worth it. They traded Diggs, got good compensation back, first, fourth, fifth, sixth, all that. Linval Joseph's in LA. They have a 22nd and a 25th in the draft. I give them a C really just because they couldn't do much. Like, I'm not surprised at all by their free agency. What happened is really about as expected as any team in the NFL.
By the way, Cam Newton. As we record this, 3:20 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday, March 24th, Cam Newton officially released by the Carolina Panthers.
There you go.
He was the first player I ever saw drafted while working for CBS Sports.
Is that a fact? You used to have Cam as your avatar on Twitter.
I did. I have Cam as my avatar on Slack now. It's his. It's a little sunglasses thing. Yeah. He was the first player because the first draft I covered was the 2011 NFL draft for CBS Sports. I was working, sitting in Radio City Music Hall. Man, been a long time.
Has been. I didn't know who you were back then in 2011.
So you thought I was Cam Newton?
Well, I couldn't blow up the photo for whatever reason. And so I couldn't, and Cam was like wearing glasses. And I couldn't necessarily 100% say that was Cam Newton. And so I just thought that Will Brinson was like this cool looking black dude. And boy, I got to tell you what, Will, I was really disappointed.
That's I've told Ryan Wilson this. I definitely thought Ryan Wilson was a Caucasian accountant moonlighting as a blogger for two or three years before, because he didn't have a profile pic on FanHouse when he was writing. And then as it turns out, nope. He's not?
No.
I'm not a cool-looking black guy. Just short white guy who plays tennis.
Until you have shelter in place.
Nah, I'm going to – you can get out to exercise.
Can you? I think it's just a walk or a run. I don't think it's actually going out there and playing competitive sport.
Well, you can go hit the ball machine.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a shot. We'll see. They're not going to come and get me on a private property. Please. Get out.
Yeah, they're going to issue you a citation. It's a misdemeanor. That's how this works.
No, it's not a misdemeanor. Get out of town.
What do you think it is?
Misdemeanor for playing tennis? Come on.
I'm not saying it's going to be a felony, but yeah, Will. I'm sorry.
Nah, I'm going to be picking up to-go food and at the university club here in town. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to tell. There might be Raleigh cops listening to this podcast. I'm not going to tell them what my plans are. anyway, Cam Newton, end of an era. Crazy to see. And so we'll see where he lands. Where do you think he'll land, by the way? Do you buy the Patriots hype?
A little bit. I think it's going to – if it has to be sooner or later, I think it's going to be later. I think that everyone is chilling on the veteran quarterbacks that are available right now for a reason. I think that Andy Dalton can be had on the open market, that a team doesn't have to give any trade compensation for him. I think that everybody wants to wait and see with Jameis Winston and how he recovers from that meniscus. I think that Cam Newton, while he passed a basic physical reportedly this week, you roll the ball out there, he's not going to be playing tomorrow. And so if you don't have to make a move, then you probably
won't. That's a great point for meniscus for Jameis Winston. I didn't even really process that.
Yeah.
That's another, again with Cam, and Adam Schefter of ESPN reported that Cam had underwent a physical with the Panthers, and his team helped to arrange in Atlanta on Monday, and that everything went fine. He's looking forward to get back to work, and that's great. The Winston thing and the Cam thing, if you can't get him on a physical, how are you going to bring him in? You don't want to pay somebody quarterback money unless you're sure that they're healthy. And there's
that's right. And starters. I'll tell you this. Well, I was told by an executive, a personnel executive, earlier this weekend or over the weekend, that they do not believe if Cam gets a 1-year deal that it will not exceed $10 million, that it probably will not even hit $10 million.
By the way, the Bears, if you're the Bears, why do you trade for Nick Foles? Just wait until Cam gets released and sign Cam. Then you can start Trubisky, and if Cam's not healthy, you have Trubisky. And if Cam is healthy and he beats out Trubisky, roll with Cam.
Because Cam would then become healthy and would beat out Trubisky, and for Ryan Pace, it would be a tacit admission by signing Cam, either trading for him or signing him, that Trubisky is not it. Remember the politics that we just talked about earlier. If Ryan Pace brings in a Nick Foles, mostly a career backup who had that aberrational year, but Trubisky can still win out. If you bring in Cam Newton, Mitch Trubisky's confidence is shot. And they've been tiptoeing around that for some time. And here's the other thing. The reason that you trade for Nick Foles instead of waiting on Cam Newton is the exact same reason that you trade up from 3 to go to 2 to get Mitch Trubisky when no one else in the NFL would ever do that. And that's not a good thing.
That's true. By the way, the Wake County Sheriff's Office has just banned pistol purchases because he says there's been a 250% increase in demand. Permits will not reopen until April 30th. People, we're in shelter in place. This is not the zombie apocalypse. The grocery stores will be open. Nobody's coming for your toilet paper. You don't need guns. Everybody take a breath and settle down. It's freaking country. Anyway, sorry. Had to get that off my chest. I don't know. Oh, we went to the Bears. Perfect. The Bears, let's grade their offseason. They traded for Nick Foles. They actually had to pay to get Nick Foles. It's unbelievable. They signed Robert Quinn how old are you now, JJ?
Old enough. No, Robert Quinn and I went to college together.
That was my question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember playing beer pong with him at Chapel Ridge back in probably 2009.
Well, that's my point. If you've been doing this for close to 10 years and there's somebody you went to college with that's getting a multi-year contract, maybe that team shouldn't have given him a multi-year contract. I think Robert Quinn's an awesome player and underrated in terms of what he's done for his career. He is on the older side. He had a great year last year in Dallas. I question, his health relative to the contract. The Jimmy Graham deal, you know what? The Bears get a F. This is a trash offseason.
it's a pretty bad one. I'm okay with Robert Quinn. And I'm probably too close to it. But I give the Bears a D. And again, remember how I said the Cardinals get an A and it's tough for me to put anyone up against the Cardinals? It's really hard for me to put anyone on the F level when I have the Houston Texans at F.
That's
right. I can't give the Chicago Bears the same grade that I gave Bill O'Brien. That's the only reason that the Bears get a D instead of an F for me, because they're already trying to get out of the Jimmy Graham contract, right? Let's be honest. The Nick Foles deal, I don't think they should have cut Taylor Gabriel. They lost Quentin Dix. They have two picks between 1 and 139, and they have 0 in the top 40. So I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I give them a D, and they're right there on the F line.
Yeah, I don't – on the Robert Quinn thing, I don't mind signing Robert Quinn. I just don't like the money that they gave him. I don't mind signing Jimmy Graham. I just don't like that you gave him $8 million a year because he's not fast and he can't run. Look, I'm all – Ryan Pace – does Ryan Pace have a North Carolina connection? Jimmy Graham's Goldsboro. Robert Quinn. Mitch Trubisky. Interesting.
It is very interesting. I don't believe that he does, though.
I don't think so either.
Maybe he just likes flying into our fantastic airports.
Raleigh-Durham Airport, nothing better. Packers, Charlotte's airport sucks, although it's gotten better. It's gotten better. The parking's a disaster. The Packers added Christian Kirksey, Mercedes Lewis, and Ricky Wagner. They lose Brian Bulaga, Blake Martinez, B.J. Goodson, Jimmy Graham, and Kyler Fackrell. This is not the spiciest offseason, but that's okay. They went big last year.
They went big last year, so I'm giving them a solid B. I like the Christian Kirksey pickup. They were in the mix for an Austin Hooper. That clearly didn't work out because he went to the highest bidder, the Browns, but they tried. That's okay. I hate losing Brian Bulaga. But what they added in Kirksey and Wagner, they're not that far off. I think they seem far off from the San Francisco 49ers, but what I don't like is when teams retool in an offseason to beat one specific team. And I don't know what exactly it is that the Packers have to do in order to beat the Niners and overcome them, because they absolutely got trounced twice last year by the Niners. They clearly – maybe they're just simply a bad matchup. But I'm okay with them not trying to chase that, so I give them a B.
That's fine with me. It's not spicy. Just I don't know what you give them. Like, you can't bang them for a bad offseason. The Lions, you can bang, though, because they got –
Yep,
this is interesting. Jamie Collins, Desmond Trufant, actually $11 million a year for Trufant's not crazy. Hala Palavini Vitae. Did I do that right, Debo?
Nailed it.
Boom!
Not really, but close enough.
How do you say it? Hala.
Say Tua real quick.
Tua Tagovailoa.
I mean, but say it all at once and you're not like spacing it out.
Tua Tagovailoa.
You nailed it. Hala Palavini Vitae. God damn it.
Hala Palavini Vitae.
Vitae.
Vitae. All right, I'll get it. Danny Shelton, they added. Daron Harmon and Chase Daniel. They lose Darius Slay, who they traded. A'shaun Robinson, Graham Glasgow, which is actually a good loss because he got overpaid. Ricky Wagner, J.D. McKissick, Jeff Driscoll, and Devon Kennard. This is – I don't know what the Lions are doing.
I don't know either, except trying to be the Patriots of the Great Lakes. I don't like it at all. We mentioned the names, and all the names are cool. We didn't really get into the contracts.
The contracts are disastrous.
That's what makes it all bad.
Yeah.
That's what makes it all bad are the contracts. And I'll say this, and here, this goes back to the continuity thing. You have a Matt Patricia who is trying his best to make the Patriot way happen in Detroit. And you saw, did you see what he allegedly said to Darius Slay that made Darius Slay not respect him anymore?
It's inexplicable. He told Darius Slay that he's not elite, that he shouldn't be hanging around better corners, and then put a bunch of film stuff up on him in front of everybody and embarrassed him. It's like, dude, you don't have any wins. Like, you could do that if you got titles and skins on the wall. You got nothing.
And so you want to do this to one of your best players and establish this culture, this nebulous idea of culture. What's going to really kill you is if you have no time with these players to establish culture. He's already had time to establish it, and he's got, what, 9 total wins as the Detroit Lions head coach and still can't even measure up to Jim Caldwell's worst season as a head coach of the Detroit Lions. And so I think that so many things are working against him and Bob Quinn, including the edict from Martha Firestone Ford at the end of last season that, hey, it's kind of postseason or else for you. And I don't think that that diamond is going to be made under pressure there in Detroit.
Mm. Is that a diamond? Is that a Robert Griffin diamond? No diamonds, no pressure, no diamonds?
Yeah, it was. Sure was.
I love it. The Falcons, back to the NFC South. They add Todd Gurley, Dante Fowler, Hayden Hurst, Tyler Davidson, lose Vic Beasley, Austin Hooper, Devontae Freeman, Desmond Trufant, Lavondre Campbell, and Wes Schweitzer. That is a lot of former core guys. They now can claim, JJ, that when they go to 3 wide receiver sets with Laquon Treadwell out there, that they are the first team in NFL history to start 11, to put 11 first rounders on offense at the same time. So they've got that going for them.
Give me a B for the Falcons. I do like it. They upgraded at pass rusher with Dante Fowler. They downgraded at tight end. Of course, they were never going to be able to pay Austin Hooper, so they go with Hayden Hurst. That's fine. Todd Gurley, I love the way Todd Gurley finished the season. In the middle of the year, he had some load management, whatever. But when you see that he was running the ball 15, 16, 18, 20 times there in November and December, like, I'm cool with that. I did very much like that. Desmond Trufant, ultimately, like, I just want him to get his hands on more balls throughout his entire career. I wanted him to turn people over. They finally got rid of the Vic Beasley experiment. And so, yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm giving them a B. Again, I don't know how far off they are. Dan Quinn made those staff changes. They have all the talent at almost every level of offense and defense. They just, for whatever reason, since the 2017 season, have not been able to put it together. I just don't think they're that far off. They didn't have to have a big offseason. They haven't so far. They've added in smart places, and they've tried to recreate where they can. I'm okay with it. I give them a B.
All right. Fair enough. The New Orleans Saints added Emmanuel Sanders and Malcolm Jenkins to veteran on each side of the ball. They lost Teddy Bridgewater, Eli Apple, and A.J. Klein, and they brought back Drew Brees and Andrus Peat on fairly sizable deals but not outrageous contracts. They are the best team in the division, we think, unless Tom Brady gets it going or the Falcons click. What do you give the Saints?
B+. I like very, it. Very, very much like what the Saints did right there. The offense is absolutely absurd. Emmanuel Sanders, that signing sent this over the top, made them absolutely my favorite in the NFC South.
His best game of the year, by the way. Remember, he had that passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown and a bunch of catches and a bunch of yards in the Superdome.
So I love that. The Saints still have the ability to add another receiver in day two of the draft if they wish, or early in day three. The only weakness that they have right now is the middle of the defense. Like, A.J. Klein is a very, very solid inside linebacker, and he's not flashy. He was never Luke Kuechly in Carolina. You know, they still have Kiko, okay, whatever. But I'm interested to see in our CBS Sports HQ mock draft, I sent them Kenneth Murray. If you want to send them Patrick Queen, you can. They're at the 24th overall pick. So I'm willing to hold my breath and say, all right, they're interested in an inside linebacker. They didn't go out and pay or overpay for a Blake Martinez. They want to get somebody early on in the draft. I'm okay with that. But until they do that, I can't give them an A. They're at a B+.
Okay. The Arizona Cardinals, who you have mentioned, they added DeAndre Hopkins. Don't know if you heard about him. Decent little wide receiver. Has done some things well on the football field before. Devondre Campbell, Devon Kennard, and Jordan Phillips. They traded away David Johnson, lost Farrah Cooper, Demir Byrd signed with the Patriots. And they bring back Larry Fitzgerald and Kenyon Drake, who they put on the franchise tag. How would you grade the Arizona Cardinals?
Give them an A. I mean, they got the trade of the last 5 years in the NFL. Getting DeAndre Hopkins, who really inarguably is a top three wide receiver. And he has been voted the past three successive years as a top two wide receiver in the NFL.
I mean, there's a pretty good chance that Steve Keim is like, am I being pranked? Like, is this really happening? Like, this guy wants to give me David Johnson or give me DeAndre Hopkins to take David Johnson and his salary off my hands? Okay.
It was an untradeable contract.
Yeah.
And he somehow, I mean, they couldn't cut him. They couldn't trade him because nobody in their right mind would take that contract on. And they did. And
they got DeAndre Hopkins in return.
Unreal. Unbelievable. And so, you know, they also got Jordan Phillips from Buffalo at $10 million a year. Jordan Phillips is really good. He's a monster. You know, Devondre Campbell's on a crazy affordable deal. Like, I think it's like 1 year, $6 million. They had re-upped DJ Humphreys early on in the offseason. Like, I've been really rough on Steve Keim because he really has not done anything since Carson Palmer took that team to the NFC title game in 2015. I've been really hard on him, and especially when they fired Steve Wilks. And it's like, Steve Keim, what have you done for me lately? And you had a hand in this hire if it was so bad. But I am very, very impressed by what he has been able to do these past two, 3 months.
I agree completely. The Los Angeles Rams cut Todd Gurley, lost Corey Littleton, lost Dante Fowler, lost Michael Brockers, lost Nicole Roby Coleman. They let him walk, and they cut Clay Matthews. They added on Ashawn Robinson and Leonard Floyd, the former first-round pick. And they actually talked Andrew Whitworth into coming back. It's hard for me to look at the Rams and be optimistic given the regression from Jared Goff last year, the struggles on offense and with the offensive line, the complete depletion of that defense, and what is now a really tough division.
C minus. I'm right there on the D+ line. We want to go ahead and just give him a D+. Again, I was cool with Todd Gurley. I get that they don't want to pay him and they wanted to get out of his contract. Dante Fowler was finally turning it on That they were able to get Andrew Whitworth back. Okay, that's very solid. That's really the only saving grace here. Leonard Floyd on a far more affordable $10-ish million a year contract than the 15 that he was going to get in the tag. I'm cool with that as well. But here is the thing for me is they lost Wade Phillips. That's a huge free agency loss to me. They're not a better defense without Wade Phillips.
I agree completely. It's a mistake to let him go. I think the Rams are in trouble. I think the Rams could be the worst team in that division. Yep. The 49ers tacked on an extra pick, number 13 overall. They added Travis Benjamin recently, traded away DeForest Buckner for that pick, let Emmanuel Sanders walk after giving up a pretty hefty price for him last year, re-signed Eric Armstead, and Ben Garland and Jimmy Ward are returning. I don't know that the 49ers got appreciably better, but I think they still have a very good roster.
They do. And
like a C plus. I don't know, maybe a B minus for like, you got the 13th overall pick. I don't like losing DeForest Buckner, but if he's going to cost you $21 million a year, you probably couldn't afford him over the long haul.
That's right. And they re-signed Jimmy Ward to a deal that really kind of protects them, in the event that he suffers yet another injury, which obviously he has struggled with. They tendered Kendrick Bourne and Matt Breida. Here's the thing that I want to see from the 49ers. They have two first rounders. Right, 13 and 31, and then they have nothing until 156. And they absolutely crushed the draft last year, right? With Bosa, obvious, they got Debo, they got Greenlaw, they got their punter. Like, I want to see them get more picks and crush the draft in two consecutive years. And the only way you're going to do that is trading away 13 or 31. And so I do not at all anticipate them making two first-round picks. I anticipate them making one first-round pick, and then parlaying the other one, whether it's 13 or 31, into a, you know, two second-rounders or two second-rounders and a third, whatever that may be, so that they can go out there and do exactly what they did last year that helped them get to the Super Bowl.
The Seattle Seahawks, and you're right, they will trade back. You mentioned that on our mock draft show. You're like, I would trade back if I could. If you would let me trade back, I would do what they want to do, but you won't let me. Jerks.
So I can't do what they want to do.
Right. The Seahawks added Philip Dorsett on a nice little deal. Greg Olsen, they picked up some leadership. If he can stay healthy, so I think he can still play. Bruce Irvin brought him back into the nest. Quentin Dunbar, great trade. Quentin Jefferson, Cedric Ogbue. They lose George Fant and brought back Jerron Reed, Luke Wilson. And then, I mean, maybe this is where you go with a partially incomplete grade because we don't know what they're going to do with Jadeveon Clowney. They couldn't tag him. I think Clowney's another guy who, because of the corona situation, cannot get teams to give him a longer look and to pay him the money he wanted. It got past the first wave of free agency and nobody was biting and trying to give him a huge Aaron Donald plus deal, not surprisingly, and they can't test him out to see if he's physically healthy. So he's still hanging out there. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he came back to Seattle on like a one-year deal to try and see what he could parlay next offseason.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It is incomplete for me. They don't have a pass rush right now. Last year, they didn't have a single defensive player who had at least five sacks. Without Quentin Jefferson and without Jadeveon Clowney, they have no single player who had double-digit quarterback hits. So they need a pass rush. And I have to assume, I know that John Schneider knows that. I know that they are going to get that. But until they get that, this is a completely incomplete free agency for them. And so I know they're doing their dance right now with Clowney. He obviously is not going to get the $20 million that he wants per year or even in 1 year. They may even add in the draft as well, which I had Ytor Gross-Matos going to them, I think at 27. That makes sense to me. They have to add pass rush because they just do not have it.
Yeah, if they ended up bring Clowney back on a 1 year deal, and maybe it's $18 million, or maybe it's $20 million or 1 year. I don't know. You bring it back on 1 year, you get Gross-Matos or somebody like that, an edge guy in the draft, and then LJ Collier steps up and actually produces at a first round level. They would have a pass rush, and they would be a very interesting team in that division. All right, JJ, good stuff as always, buddy. We kept you long, but we appreciate it. Great grades, great Corona talk. Stay safe in Mecklenburg, and talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, homie.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.